Tonight's scripture reading will be from Proverbs 2, verses 20 through 22. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it.
This morning, we looked at Proverbs chapter 2 and considered two out of the four benefits of wisdom that are mentioned in this chapter. And we made reference to chapter 1, kind of an introduction to the book, looking at the introduction to knowledge, wisdom, and prudence. And after considering those three main themes throughout the book of Proverbs, knowledge, simply to know something, wisdom, knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have, and prudence, actually applying it, putting it into practice. We get into chapter 2, where Solomon is speaking to his son and saying that, giving conditions, if you receive wisdom and search her out like fine gold and precious jewels and a desired treasure, then you will receive these things. And what we looked at was in verses 1 through 6, you will receive sanctification. You will be sanctified. Wisdom will sanctify you, set you apart, and separate you from the world. We also looked at verses 7 through 9 and how one of the benefits of wisdom is security. If you obtain wisdom from God, that is the Word, look into His mind, the Scriptures, you will be able to decipher and have discernment and rightly divide or interpret the word of truth. Therefore, having knowledge and understanding of God, being able to know these things and how to be saved, and it will secure you in a time of need. Within these two points, we looked at verses 1 through 6. If you search it out, then you will receive. Solomon makes it clear there's a condition. It's not that if you just listen to wisdom, you have to actually do something with it, which is actually mentioned in chapter 1. Wisdom is in the streets calling out, screaming, saying, listen to me before you die, and some will absolutely reject wisdom. And those who reject wisdom, Solomon says, that wisdom will laugh at their face on the day of judgment. Don't look to me on the day of judgment because I tried to save you and you didn't listen to me. Well, even though it's out for grabs for anybody, anybody can obtain wisdom, he says you still need to treat it like a treasure and hunt it down and find it. And once you find it, you hold on to it. We also looked at verses 7 through 8. And how is it security unto the one who obtains wisdom? One who has wisdom and understanding of God, how is it a security to them? Well, verses 7 through 8, it is a shield and a guard from the world. We noticed Psalm 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. We also considered another psalm, Psalm 119:11, how the one who hides the word of God or the law of the Lord in their hearts is less likely to sin against the Lord. Well, what I find interesting is if we keep reading into verses 10 through 11, notice the language that is used by Solomon. Let's start in verse 9. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, that is every right way. For wisdom will enter in your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Now, in verses 10 through 11, we see the third benefit of wisdom, satisfaction. If you search out wisdom and knowledge, wisdom will satisfy you. Some people don't like wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. But what they, in despising wisdom and instruction, what they really love or like is ignorance. And ignorance is simply one who is unlearned. But one who is willfully ignorant, it's kind of in the name, ignore. You are willfully ignoring the wisdom that God has given you, the instructions of what you need to do in order to be saved? Well, Solomon says, if you seek it out, you will be able to discern what is right. You will know every good course, every right way of doing things. For wisdom will enter your heart. Now, we already made mention of this a second ago and our lesson this morning. If we have the word of God where, then we will be satisfied and be less likely to sin against God, our hearts. The psalmist made mention of that. Thy word hath I hid in my heart. Jesus talks about this within the parables of the kingdom in Mark chapter 4. He talks about the four different types of soil and the seed, which is the word of God. And he'll explain what these parables are. The soil are the different types of hearts. Some choke it out. Some, it doesn't even take root. Some, it'll dry up because the heart is preoccupied. It's got stones. It's got thorns. But there is a heart that is receptive, and that's the good soil. Well, if you plant the word of God in the hearts of mankind and the hearts that are receptive, the good soil, well, notice what will happen. It'll be pleasant to your soul. Verse 10, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. If we do take the priceless wisdom and store it in our hearts, it will do many things. Verse 10, it will please the soul. Knowing the truth about God will pleasure our hearts. Psalm 19, one of my favorite psalms, dealing with the two witnesses of God, revelation and creation. These two things can prove God's existence. And in these two arguments and pieces of evidence that prove God's existence, dealing with revelation, the word of God or the law of God, notice what the psalmist says in verses 7 through 10. Excuse me. It says, for the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much pure gold or fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Not only does the law of the Lord prove the existence of God, but it also is pleasurable and satisfies the hearts, souls, and minds of the ones who follow God. And you know, if you look at the one who's pinning this down, not the psalmist, but the proverb here, King Solomon, it's very interesting that throughout his life and his account, his historical account, if you read Solomon's story and his life, he did not withhold anything from his pleasures. In fact, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, it is right after the book of Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes, specifically chapter 2. I don't want to read the entire chapter, but I do want to read a good sum of it, just so that we can see in the middle of King Solomon's life, the things that he admits to doing, and then realizing it's all in vain. Notice what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. In verses 1 and following, he says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself, and behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven and the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. And I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. This was my reward for all my labor, which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Now notice verse 12. So I turned to consider wisdom. If you read the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, this is a fragment of what is said in the book of Ecclesiastes. I tried this and it was vain. I fulfilled my pleasures in this area of life and it was vanity. If I saw it, I took it. If I wanted it and I liked it, I pleasured myself with it. And all of it was like trying to grasp air. So the end of the matter, all has been heard. What does he say to do? Fear God and keep his commandments. What is the introduction to the book of Proverbs? The beginning of wisdom is what? Fear the Lord. A man who has time, money, and power has everything he needs to test out where can I find true happiness. And Solomon had all three. And he says, the only way you're going to find true pleasure in life is if you seek out God and his wisdom. He says, trust me. I'm trying to save you a lot of grief here, Solomon is saying. Anything that you can think of doing, I've already done it. It's not worth it. Just follow God's commandments. Fear him, because this is the point of mankind. This is your duty, your responsibility as a human being. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the purpose of life. In verse 11, he says, it will satisfy you, not specifically just verse 10, into your soul, but it will keep discretion that preserves the individual. Notice what he says. Discretion will guard you. Discretion, literally, the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. To be discreet, that's what this word is, discretion, discreet. Have you ever received a certain amount of information that perhaps is maybe quite embarrassing to somebody else? Or maybe it's something that doesn't need to be spoken of, but for some reason you think, you know what? In my wisdom, I think this needs to be handled in such a way, so I'm going to reveal this information to somebody, and then it blows up and it becomes a greater deal than what it was supposed to be. That is what you call someone who is not discreet. How do I know when to be discreet? Well, James would talk about this. He would first say in chapter 1, pray for wisdom, and it'll be given to you. The wisdom is the word of God. But later on in the book, he would say the tongue is a very dangerous instrument. You need to be careful how you use it. In fact, he says, all teachers and proclaimers of the gospel will be under a stricter judgment, because if you do not know how to handle your tongue and you misuse scripture, then guess what? You're going to be held to a higher standard. That is, you're going to be looked at by God and say, and he's going to tell you or ask you, why did you mishandle my word? How come you are not discreet? How come you spoke where I did not speak and you were silent where I told you to not be silent? Well, Solomon says the way you can know how to be properly discreet, not to be a gossip, not to ruin other people's lives, and not just other people's lives, but yours in the process, go to God's wisdom. God will show you how to properly use your tongue and the wisdom that he has given you. You also see at the very end of verse 11, it will deliver you from evil. It will satisfy someone because it delivers them from evil. Wisdom is a life changer to the one who wants to change their lives. Now look at the very end of verse 11. Understanding will watch over you, but then it goes, that's not the end of the sentence. It goes into verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So you see, discretion, you need to be quiet and be careful how you speak, but it'll also preserve and save you from the evil man who doesn't know how to speak properly, who speaks perverse things. So it doesn't just save you from your own tongue, it saves you from the tongue of others. If you look at verses 12 to 22, we see, according to this chapter and its context, the fourth and final benefit of wisdom. And of course, there are many others that perhaps we will even consider throughout the Proverbs, but just for the sake of time in this chapter, this is the fourth and final that we will consider. The fourth benefit of wisdom is that it will save you. The wisdom of God will save you, not just from yourself, but it'll save you from others. Notice, it's going to be kind of a strange outline here, so bear with me. It'll save you from two different types of people. It'll save you from godless men, 12 to 15, as well as 20 to 22. It'll save you from godless men, 12 to 15, and 20 to 22, but it will also save you from godless women, verses 16 to 19. He says there are men and women that are wicked. And he gives the categories of what they do and what you need to stay away from and what you need to watch out for. Verses 12 to 15, read this with me. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. Now again, there's a lot of cross-references that we've made mention of pretty consistently throughout this study. But this chapter, if you were to have just a few cross-references, we've looked at Psalm 119:11, we've looked at Matthew chapter 6, we've looked at Psalm 1. This is another parallel to Psalm 1. Notice, from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, blessed is the man who does not walk in the paths of sinners, nor stand or walk in the wicked paths of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. But notice, who delight in doing evil, verse 14, and rejoice in the perversity of evil. What about the one who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night? What is his delight? His delight is in the law of the Lord. So you see a parallel, or really a contrast here, the one who walks in wickedness and the one who walks in the paths of righteousness. Verse 15, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Follow the steps of good men and stay on the paths of righteousness is what Solomon is saying. And if you look back in chapter 1, do you not remember what he forewarned his son in verse 8? And following, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kind of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we will all have one purse. He's already made mention of these wicked individuals. It's interesting how a father is telling his son over and over again, repeatedly, repetition, do not follow this group, follow this group. Son, chapter 2, do not follow this group, follow this group. Chapter 3, son, do not follow this group, follow this group. Why do you think Solomon is so adamant about him following the paths of righteousness, his son that is, rather than following the paths of the wicked, which are crooked? Well, remember Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, I followed down that path, and it's not worth it. Those who are still young enough to be under the roof of your parents, and really, even though you grow up and you leave the nest, you still need to seek counsel on your parents. Listen to your parents. That is, if they follow the law of God. If they are teaching you what God wants you to know, you need to listen to them. Because they're trying to save you a lot of heartache and say, look, I know that you think you know everything. And you probably do think that you know everything as a young person. Trust me. For some here, they still think I am a young person about your age. For you, you probably think that I'm an old man. I'm kind of in an awkward spot here, okay? So take it from me. There were times where I didn't listen to my elders and my parents. And guess what? It blew up in my face. When your parents tell you to do something, they're trying to save you. They're trying to help you and say, look, I've gone down that path. Don't do it. It'll blow up in your face. What you need to do is follow the paths of righteousness, and it'll be pleasing to you. It'll satisfy you. It'll secure you, and it will save you on the day of judgment. But notice, it's not just saying, watch out who your friends are. It also says, be careful who you choose as your spouse. Notice verses 16 and 19, it'll save you from the godless woman. Verse 16 and following, it says, not only will it deliver you from the wicked man, but to deliver you from the strange woman. And now real quick, put a pin here. Every time you see this word strange, it's not that she's different or she's awkward or kind of, you know, she's kind of strange. It's unauthorized. You read in Leviticus chapter 10, they offered up strange fire. Well, it means they offered up fire or incense that God did not tell them to. He says, I did not give you authorization to offer up this fire and incense. This is a woman that is off limits, the proverb writer is saying, to deliver you from the strange or unauthorized woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So ye will walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Wisdom saves you from immorality, specifically sexual immorality here in this context, fornication, adultery. There are many wicked people in this world, and an example of this is the forbidden woman. And notice this, she will entice, she will manipulate, she causes death, and she breaks covenants. I don't know why on earth, when people leave their spouse to be in one flesh with another, then think everything's going to be okay because, you know, you've just, along with yourself, you have just married or gotten into a relationship with someone who cannot be trusted. Think about that for a moment. You leave the spouse of your youth, your first spouse, and this is what this context is referring to, your first spouse, you break that covenant, not just with that spouse, but with God, because God conjoins together, and what God has put together, let no man tear asunder, Genesis chapter 2. What makes you think that that marriage is going to work out? One, God does not approve of it. It is a marriage, but it is an unlawful marriage, according to the book of Matthew. I believe it's Matthew chapter 14, with Herod and Herodias. He took his brother's wife. Well, notice what Solomon is saying. He says, if you go after a woman who, number one, is not you're not authorized to be with this woman. It is a woman that cannot be trusted. And it is a woman who is known for breaking covenants and just wants to have a good time. What makes you think that your life is going to end in such a way that is pleasurable for all of eternity? God says through Solomon, you need to be careful who you hang out with. With your friends, you need to be careful. Who you marry, you need to be careful, because they will have everlasting effects on your life for all of eternity. Notice, where does she make her bed and her house in death? Notice verse 20, so you walk and you will walk in the way of good men and keep in the paths of righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. What happens if I surround myself with wicked people and make my friends with the devil and then end up marrying his daughter? Why do I think that my life is going to be godly? Why do I think that I'm still going to be a tree planted by streams of water and that I will prosper in all that I do and my fruit will bear in its season if I'm living like Satan and living in his house at the exact same time? But think, even though I'm in Satan's house right now, I'll be able to live in God's house for all of eternity. God says, that's not how this works. You have to seek out wisdom. And if you seek out wisdom, it will satisfy you, secure you, it'll save you, it'll do all of these things for you. It'll give you discretion, it'll give you discernment, know what to do, what is right, what to stay away from, that which is wrong, who you surround yourself with, who you ought not to surround yourself with. You know, if you look at Solomon's life, I think if anybody could tell us, don't go down this road, it would be Solomon. Because as he made mention, if there was anything that I wanted to do, I did not keep myself from it. He married hundreds of women, had hundreds of concubines, and every single one of those women, it is mentioned that they turned his heart away from God and went to the Ashtaroth and went to the Baals, which is just a category of gods, the female gods in the forests and the gardens, which was worship in a very sexual immorality way, and Baals, which really would refer to just idol worship and sometimes even offering up your children as sacrifices. Solomon participated in these things, and he says, it's not worth it. If I could go back, I would do it this way. So son, heed my instruction and do not fall away from the teachings of your mother. Listen to God, because his path is right. These paths are crooked. They'll lead you down a path of death. Yes, it is pleasurable for but a moment, but all is vanity. But if you seek out wisdom, seek out the wisdom of God, you will be satisfied, truly satisfied, because you will be fulfilling your purpose. If one applies the priceless wisdom that will sustain him or her from evil, he can overcome the wicked men and the wicked women, the wicked friends and the wicked adulteress. But the one who rejects wisdom, they will fall with the wicked and the wicked woman and face death. We need to follow the path of wisdom and stay righteous and not reject wisdom, which protects us if we apply it. And there's the key. We have to apply it. We can't just look at it and say, you know what? I know what this says, but you know, now that I've heard it, I'm okay. That's not how this works. Solomon begins the chapter by saying, seek it out. And once you find it, you obtain it and you do not let it go. You put it in your heart. You apply it. Because fools, they hear it, but they despise wisdom and instruction. Son, don't be a fool. I know I can get up here and keep preaching and teaching on Proverbs and until I'm blue in the face and receive all kinds of amens. But only you know where you stand with God in this matter. If you are classified as a fool according to God, or if you are classified as one who is wise. Unless you show fruits of your actions. I can't tell you. I can't read your mind or heart. Only you know these things. But I can tell you this. If you are struggling with some of these things, you're not alone. Swallow your pride. Don't think that, well, if I let it out, if I tell somebody, then I'm going to be persecuted. That's not what the church is for. The church already has too much persecution going on. We ought not to persecute ourselves. In fact, James would say, confess your sins to one another. Why would I do that, James? So that we can help each other get to heaven by going back to the scripture saying, look, that's what Solomon did. I sinned. I did all of these things. Don't do this. You have a family. You have a family that loves you, a family that wants you to go to heaven with them. And if you are struggling with anything, perhaps you can't even be considered one who is wise because you've been living your entire life as a foolish man or a foolish woman. one who is living outside of wisdom, the kingdom of God, the church. And you want to be added to the church by God, Acts 2:47. And you can do that if you obey his commandments, seek out his wisdom and apply it. Or maybe you just need prayers for strength. Whatever the case may be, I beg and plead that you come now as together we stand and as we sing.